Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Mapping the College Audition, a podcast where we explore the landscape of the college theater world and try to demystify this daunting audition process. I'm your host, Charlie Murphy, director of MTCA, Musical Theater College Auditions. Today, we've got a double episode of seriousness and silliness lined up for you. First off, we have the wonderful Ellen Letrick. She's MTCA's founder and my longtime friend, who I often call my sister. I've known her since I was 13 years old, and we've come so far together down this artistic and educational road together. You'll hear us have a few conversations about art and life that bring me right back to the many late nights at Eaton Park or Galifty's in Pittsburgh, as well as those halcyon early New York City days. So this was a really special one for me, and I hope you enjoy. Ellen and I get into MTCA's beginning and what kind of makes the heart of MTCA. We talk about the wonderful TFCA, which is Ellen's scholarship organization she started. We talk about how one can try to positively affect the landscape and the pipeline as we sort of surround conversations around equity. We do a little Ellen trivia time, which is the first of two trivia games we play today. Oh my, so much trivia. And then Ellen gives some really sage advice about blocking out the noise of the internet and your peers, and there not being only one answer, one path, which is certainly something we are trying to emphasize on this podcast as well. Then after Ellen, we're going to bring back Elizabeth Stanley and Leo Ash Evans for a fun little newlywed revenge game where the two of them gang up on me and try to get back at me for the very difficult questions I gave them on their episodes. So stick around at the end if you want to hear me get humiliated. Next up, we have the amazing Kenneth Noel Mitchell from USC in another one of our college deep dive episodes. But let's get to Ellen. Well, today we have a real honor for the podcast. Our queen bee, Ellen Letrick, is here. Ellen, who many of you know already. Thank you, Megan. We have low rent sound effects here, so we just make our own vuvuzelas. Ellen has a BA in history from Villanova University. She has an MS in speech pathology from Duquesne. She's done clinical voice work at Weill Cornell Medical College, as well as the University of Pittsburgh. She's worked as a vocal coach for the Broadway company of Matilda and the off-Broadway and Broadway company of Hand to God. And aside from being the founder of MTCA, she's also the executive director of TFCA, which she founded in 2019, and which we're going to talk about both on this podcast. Ellen, how did we do?
That was great. Thank you for the intro.
So, Ellen, our queen, you wrote this great blog entry, which people can check out on our site if they want to hear the kind of whole history of MTCA. But I thought, what if we do like a 60-second monologue version of the founding of MTCA? If it needs to be a 90-second monologue, I won't cut you off. But
yeah, you know me well.
The simple how it started and sort of how we got to where we are now.
All right. Well, anybody who's met me through any MTCA interactions knows that at some point in our first meeting, as I'm demonstrating now, I say I specialize in long stories. So MTCA didn't start on purpose. I think that's the most important thing to know, which meant that it grew organically through first me just having this strange affinity for listening to musical theater songs and loving that genre, those genres, and then hearing a singer and saying, you know what, you should sing this. And that was weird, but it also occurred in the 90s before there were PDFs of sheet music, before there was YouTube, before there was Instagram. So people were like, who is the strange fairy godmother of musical theater person? I was in the Pittsburgh area and had done local shows with a woman, young woman named Leah Akins, who was in the class of 99, the Carnegie Mellon musical theater class. And she said, oh, we have to raise money for our, they called it leagues at the time, their showcase. They had to raise some of the money. And I said, bring your class to Canfield, Ohio, where I was a high school teacher at the time. And I was teaching social studies. It was fun, I always say. We had costumes. and lots of storytelling. That's what history is. And I said, bring your class. We'll have everybody sing something, talk about what it is to be like, you know, sort of on the precipice of entering a career in theater. And then this is how old the story is that, and then we'll feed everybody. We'll get a big 6-foot party sub from Subway, which was like so cool in the '90s. And now people would be like, really? No offense, Subway, no offense. But,
yeah, Subway is one of our sponsors, Ellen.
Okay. So sorry. I still love Subway, but you know, that was, but you know, feed the young artists and give them a donation for their leagues. And they were really happy. So that started in 99. That partnership continued with Canfield High School up through the class when I left to go to grad school, which was the class of 2002, which was co-director Leo's class and Telly Leung. And so more people were asking me to coach, and I didn't know it really much about monologues. I knew a little about dance, but certainly not to look at it technically like I could at songs. And so I would ask people that I knew, starting with my friends from Carnegie Mellon and a couple others that I knew through friends and shows, to come and supplement that training or to add to that training. And I called them my genius bar, which was very cool and innovative to say at that time. It grew to an amazing team of teaching artists who all had a shared passion, a shared sensibility about process. And that's how MTCA came to be.
I'd love to talk a little bit about kind of the heart of MTCA. Sure. It's something you and I have talked a lot about. And, you know, sort of as you were founding it and running it with, you know, your intrepid co-directors by your side, what did you feel like was the most important thing to maintain that maybe set MTCA apart from other coaches or other organizations that do similar things?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's an easy answer. It's the truly personalized education. And it's easy to say that, but that means that you really know what the student wants in their program really specifically and their lives too. Mm-hmm. And not making it about one definition of a successful audition or the programs that are best, because that's just not true. And knowing that there's not just Broadway as a success or these three schools as a success. And I love looking at our students, like, shout out to one of our families who had three children grow through this process, Tamara Josephson, who love her mom, love her brother Miles, love her sister Abby and her sister Carissa, who's not an actor. But she now is this really successful entertainment lawyer. She went to NYU Tisch, and A.J. Malukoff is a lawyer. I mean, I love looking at the students who are still, or, you know, they're doing what they're doing and they're successful. I could name so many of them, whether it's in theater or not, but just kind of watching their journeys progress and knowing that nobody ever tried to tell them what to do on MTCA's end. You know, we just help them figure out that it's really the first step in their education.
I love that. That is so what we're trying to do, you know, and a little bit on this podcast as we help them map their individual paths, for people who are not MTCA students as well, but certainly with MTCA, the idea of how individual it can be and how we can celebrate all the different paths and not have it be that the one success is Broadway or the one success is, you know, this school. And then we'll be proud of you.
Don't get me wrong. It's exciting when you get to see Logan Jones and SpongeBob and
heck yeah,
Ashley Reyes and Play That Goes Wrong and on TV. And, but you know, obviously we have that goal too. It's just the broader goal that of the personalization of, and you know, of the education is what I love about what we created all together.
What if we transition to like, what is your favorite part about working with students this age group? I just love to hear like what, you know, you've now done it for so many years with, and they're always 17 to 18 years old, 16 to 18 years old.
Yeah.
You know, what has been your favorite part about working with that age group?
This is not my very favorite, but the first thing I think of is a little silly, which is the kind of surface is I know all the terms. I know right now we spill the tea. We used to give the scoop, you know. I feel like I'm like two steps behind.
We don't spill tea on this part.
I read BuzzFeed to study up, you know. But I don't know. I've always felt, I don't know about younger than I am, but I just love the energy and the quick-wittedness of kids, theater kids in general and at this age, and being somebody else in their lives who can, especially now that I'm older, you know, like I can be sort of the stern mom, but also like the nerdy mom and the grouchy mom, the theater mom. And so I'm definitely not the coolest part of MTCA, and I wear that mantle proudly. I think that's really cool to have like their parents and then old grandma Ellen and then cool Leo and Charlie and then like super cool younger coaches, because you're old now, Charlie.
So true.
Yeah.
Somehow Leo that. Accused me I got older than he did all of a sudden. I don't know.
You know, depends on the week, I think.
It's so true, but it's cool to be uncool. It's cool to be uncool.
It is. You just gotta love who you are.
Elle, I would love to get a bit into this wonderful new company that you've started.
Yes.
Of TFCA. So a few years ago, you decided to kind of take a step back from MTCA and dive full time into this new wonderful organization. So tell me a bit about that decision. What made you want to jump ship to this brand new, exciting company that didn't exist before you started it?
So for many years, MTCA has always had a sensibility for equity. And in fact, as Charlie and Leo well know, our business advisor, consultant person who they still work regularly with said, you're a for-profit that runs like a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want people to be excluded because of money. So the way that worked prior to TFCA forming was that we would ask teaching artists to work for reduced salary or free once we verified that the student did have a significant economic need. That just never felt right to me because we had incredibly generous people, but they're teaching artists, and you know, that doesn't make you rich. You know, they're working their butts off being artists, and they're incredible teachers, and many of them, especially now, have families, and you know, New York is expensive, et cetera, et cetera. So I had been thinking about it really for a long time, and the thing that since at least 2010, which is when I moved to New York full time. And the thing that kept me, that I was hesitant about and that kept me from moving forward was I thought, I have no idea how to do the legality of it. I knew vaguely that it was, you know, a different animal. And because MTCA wasn't set up like with a business plan, it was an organic evolution. Well, I was just learning that, the things that you need to know to run a small business. So I just thought, I don't know how to do this. And then in the later teens, we had a couple of years in a row where there were students who had their own nonprofits. And I thought, obviously an adult helped them set it up, but I thought, okay, come on, Ellen, like you got to figure this out. So I'm not sure how I came across it, but there's an organization called Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts, or VLA, which has a branch in New York. I think it's 50 years old in New York, and they may have branches in other metropolitan areas. And they do once a month a like nonprofit for dummies 3-hour workshop where you just learn all of the really the framework stuff. And that was enough for me to say, okay, I can do this. It's not as hard as I thought. It is hard, don't get me wrong. But the starting of it, I just needed an attorney who could guide me patiently, which I was lucky to be referred to. And we're still living and learning. It is our educational model, because it's so similar to MTCA's, clearly works. And we provide we've just entered our third year of scholars. We call them our students. And we provide not just artistic training, but all of the accessories and clothing and travel needs. But you know, it's all based on fundraising, and that's really difficult. Also not my fave. I want to be with the students, but we have wonderful people that help us with fundraising. And I'm really proud of everyone who works with TFCA. We're all volunteers, including me currently, working to change that, especially so we can hire an executive director with broader knowledge of the nonprofit world. And I can focus on the educational aspects of it, but we're able to help 6 students during the pandemic, and we started with 7. I also hate that that's such a small number. It's such a small number, but I don't want to waver from the comprehensiveness of what we do, because it ties. I was thinking about this morning, just kind of in general. There are ways you can help students in small, you know, increments and help them with specific aspects, but what MTCA's model made me and MTCA really good at, which we figured it out together over so many years, is that comprehensiveness. And I have so much experience in that it would hurt my soul to It does hurt my soul to think of, it hurts my soul to think of helping a small handful of kids, but it hurts my soul maybe more to think of not helping them completely, because that's what each student needs, is successful auditions so they have college choices that are financially viable. And that is the hard, that's the hardest part. We have very talented students, but they basically have to get full rides for the most part. And this year we have 5 of our 6 did. To really big schools. And part of that is that they came to us as incredibly good students already, which really helps. But anyway, that's a lot about, I could talk about TFCA forever.
Elle, it's such a worthy cause. Mm-hmm. We talk about it with the faculty a lot, how important it is to increase access.
Yeah.
But there's only so much they can do on their end of the pipeline, right? You really are now forming a kind of necessary moment earlier in the pipeline. And I do think that that holistic, we call it now holistic is our new favorite word for the soup to nuts help, right? But yeah, that kind of help is, they can make, you can make pre-screens easier, you can make it wet. But if you don't have somebody helping you with some of the little obstacles that get in your way, which to some people, they don't even realize they're obstacles, but they just need someone to grab their hand and go, no, this is not that bad. Let me help you through it. You know, it can be a huge, and then can give them access to this whole world that they didn't know about.
Yeah. And there are, and every year with every student, again, the individuality, I learn more and more things to check for in advance. Like, does the student have, not because this would not affect their qualification to be a scholar, but things to, like, you know, address at the very beginning of their work with us. Do you have a space that you can work, where you can work uninterrupted, mm-hmm. in your home? If mm-hmm. not, let's find one. That's something that a lot of students just don't have to think about. Mm-hmm. I've done lots and lots of reading and sitting in on workshops and participating in workshops about anti-racism and anti-racist education. And so a lot of the posts that are like, here's what privilege is and isn't, you know, in terms of factual things, like not worrying about can you go to the dentist and stuff like that, a lot of that affects the audition process. Mm-hmm. Maybe the dentist, maybe not, but, you know, things that, again, a lot of students don't have to think about. And our goal, we always say, is we want you to feel like, not to feel like, to be in the same position as your upper middle class peers who have a budget but not a super restrictive one.
Right.
You know, we can't, I always say, this is probably so dumb to them, but I say, like, you're going to pick out your audition clothing, not Prada. Okay. And they look at me like, why would I pick out Prada? But, you know, if they want if they're drawn to Lululemon dance clothing, great. That's what we're going to do.
Yep.
So yeah, it is. And thank you for saying that the pipeline does start. I mean, it starts at the beginning, but there is a right. dearth of that leap from high school to college training, which you don't have to do, I'm aware of, but yeah. we're seeking people that's what they want to go to school for. They want to go to school, and this is what they want to go to school for. And I'm the first person to say, no, you don't have to have a degree in musical theater or theater to be successful. Certainly not. But we're for the people that they really want to pursue that. They want to work, they want to immerse themselves in their craft, yes. and maybe other academic things. And it's, I think our frustration right now is we want more students to know about us, but we also need more money. So I'm kind of glad that it's slowly disseminating.
Yep.
And we have wonderful supporters in the Broadway community and in the corporate community. But I know there are more students out there that need our help. They don't know about us yet, or the part of it that's really, I have to figure out how to solve, and I think it'll come in time too, is the people that need our help the most don't really think about it until the fall of their senior year, uh-huh. which is for, and we can help them so much with skill building, singing and dance, you know, those objective things. And that's pretty late to start. Yes. Never say
it's
never.
Issue we have with MTCA sometimes. Yeah. We go, God, if I'd met you 6 months ago,
right.
ooh, we could've. Yeah.
Yeah. But we have to make sure that we're, any scholar we take, we really have confidence that we can help them, you know, that we can help them achieve their goal. And again, never say never. Every case is individual. We took a scholar in December, our first year, and she's amazing. And mm-hmm. that really was, you know, worth it, that mm-hmm. the cannonball coaching that she had to do, mm-hmm. And that we had to help her with. But we need the more people to know that we exist and why we exist. Mm-hmm. And if anyone is listening and is passionate about this, you know, if you're seeing the systemic inequality in theater, there are so many wonderful groups doing amazing work, like Broadway Advocacy Coalition, who I've done a lot of listening and learning from them. They just received a special Tony Award, which is incredible. And they are, we're really, you know, one step earlier than them, essentially. Mm-hmm. They talk to collegiate groups and then, of course, young professionals and professionals, period. So when I say this, I mean this bridge or this connective tissue from high school and that training, which maybe is choir, maybe it's show choir, maybe it's I just love to sing on TikTok, you know. But there's a deep passion for storytelling to getting them to college, then reach out.
Well, that's just my next question. What if someone listening does want to get involved, either by maybe throwing a buck your way?
Yeah.
What could they do if they go, oh God, I really want to help TFCA?
Money. Yes. Money. We love any amount. We have a lot of little $5 monthly, not little, I shouldn't say $5, $10 monthly donations. Those mean so much. Like I know that those are coming from students or young professionals or just people that's what they have to give. And those monthly donations are amazing. And you can go to our website, thefundforcollegeauditions.org. And there's a donate page. My email is ellen@thefundforcollegeauditions.org. I know there's no way to shorten it. We tried to buy the TFCA domain and just like MTCA, they wanted us to pay 11. Somebody bought it, you know, and they wanted us to pay $10,000 or $11,000 for it. No, thank you. We are a nonprofit. But anyway, despite our lumbering name. That's where to find me. Our Instagram is really active. You can DM me on Instagram or DM TFCA because it's me. You know, people know that it's me talking to them. We have other people who help too. Corporations, corporate partners are always welcome. And again, it is, I totally understand that it's a really niche mission. And we do want to expand it to individual kids. And also it is so easy for me to grab a couple of awesome teaching artists who are way cooler than me and diverse in a way that I am not as a white cis hetero woman and do Zoom workshops with kids or, you know, Q&As with kids and parents just to give information. And I would love people to take advantage of that too.
I love it. And then what about on the student end? If I'm a student listening who thinks they might benefit from TFCA, could we talk a little bit about the population that you work with and how do I know if I should apply, if I might qualify, et cetera?
So our mission is really focused on the first criterion is low income. And we use the housing and urban development criteria, the government criteria for that. It's more flexible than the poverty index. And it's proportionate to, or it's based on where you live, which I think is great. So it's based on the median cost of living where you are. So the cost of living, you know, it's more expensive to live in New York than it is to live in Midlothian, Virginia, where I now live, pandemic style. So, and as long as you meet the highest criterion, meaning low income, you don't have to be in the very low income or the extremely low income. But if you're at that level, then you qualify to apply. Our mission is centered on people that are most underrepresented, groups that are most underrepresented in film, television, and theater. And who that is, by our definition, is trans and non-binary students, anyone from the global majority, which is the better, I am told, version of BIPOC. I'm constantly educated about that, but global majority, disabled performers, neurodiverse in a way that's observable, and that's really tricky. But meaning if you're going to go into an audition room, you're going to be identified as different. So people, for example, with an ADHD diagnosis, it's totally significant in your learning. It's probably not going to trip you up. Casting directors aren't going to look at you and go, oh, she has ADHD. Mm-hmm. There would be no actors if that was true. Right? also weight diverse. So, but people that, again, are going to get marginalized in a casting room or judged in a casting room because of their appearance. We do not only consider those people, but really our mission is centered on those people. However, again, each application is individual, and it really stinks to have to say no to people, which we do sometimes. But we have a great – I think it's important to know that it's not me making a unilateral decision. We have an education committee made up of three other wonderful educators and me. And everybody scores the students individually, and what you have to do is on the website. And if it stresses you out, email me or TFCA. All the TFCA emails come to me, whether it's TFCA at the Fund for College Auditions. I can read them all. But don't let it stress you out, because that's the last thing we want. I can talk you through. You probably can do this more easily than you think, like in terms of videos and getting your transcripts. We don't want anything to get in your way that just because it seems too stressful. At the same time, we want people that have a work ethic. So you have to put in the work and you have to apply. And we accept on a rolling basis. If you are hearing this and you want to apply, apply. We will be honest with you if we are out of funds for the year. So when are we done? We're done when we have chosen as many scholars as we have money for, and we just evaluate the applications as they come in.
Love it. And we will put all of these links and @ and tags in the show notes, so they'll be able to follow you and click on get updated information. Let's actually cue to a break. And when we come back, we'll do a little trivia with Ellen Lettrick.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Okay, so it's time for what America's been waiting for. Ellen's turn for the gauntlet of trivia. First off, I have to give a little apology and break a little bit of tea on the pod, or spill a little tea is I guess how I'm supposed to say it.
Break tea? What does that even mean?
You know, it's like breaking news, breaking tea. I'm creative, Ellen.
You are.
My beautiful partners, Elizabeth and Leo, were both given nearly impossible questions, and they both went 0-5, much to America's chagrin and my personal amusement. They're both very lovely and very game, as I had fun at their expense. But all of this is to say that this game will be much more fair. Not easy. None of these questions are easy. Never easy. But these are gettable questions. So there's a chance, with my apologies to Elizabeth and Leo, that Ellen may get our first correct answer on the podcast. It is possible that it'll happen today.
Are you sure this isn't just a polite way of saying she's old, we got to be easy on her?
No, I'm taking the note. I'm taking the note.
Okay, that
I was too mean. It was fun for me, but it was not fun for everyone else. I was watching people sweat as I asked them literally impossible questions. No, these are going to be hard. I'm not going to pretend they're going to be easy, but they're gettable questions, I think. Okay. Are you ready, Ellen Lettrick, for the gauntlet?
I'm as ready as I ever will be.
You first met Charlie when he was 13 years old at the wonderful Act One Theater School summer camp. At the time, he had some sort of physical ailment that kept him from being the dancing queen we all know him to be. For the first correct answer on the podcast, name that injury.
So easy. Well, he had a cast on his arm, broken wrist.
The correct answer is a broken right ankle. A broken right ankle.
What? I thought it was on your arm. Oh my God, I think you're Evan Hansen and I'm wrong.
I set you up for failure because I've heard you say that before, that he had a broken arm when you met him. And I was like, no, he had a broken ankle. Technically,
well,
a broken
growth. You never corrected me waiting all these years.
I knew there'd be a time. I knew there would be a time.
To get your revenge. Revenge.
Question two. So 0-1, but she's got a chance. Though this question is probably the hardest one. Throughout his rock tenor phase, especially in his young teens, you helped Charlie book many roles with great audition songs. His first real audition song he ever used, at least that he remembers, was when he auditioned for CLO Ministars, where he sang a truly epic tenor ballad. What song did Charlie use to audition for CLO Ministars, # booked and blessed? Hint. He would almost certainly not use it if he were 13 years old today, as some may deem it an inappropriate choice. # different times.
Was it after school special?
It was not after school special.
Oh, that's not a ballad, but oh my gosh, I didn't even, I remember when you booked Mini Star, well, when you told me, you and Christian Ortiz and where we were, but okay. I don't remember that.
The correct answer was Endless Night from The Lion King.
No, I did not.
100. I don't know if you did. I'm actually not sure if you gave it to me.
I do not think I gave that to you, Charlie. Way to hurt my reputation.
Definitely coach me on it.
If Will Branner is listening to this, he will never live it down.
4 bonus points. What was the next audition song in his book that he used for his high school auditions? Hint, it was a song cut from a popular musical. Cut from a popular movie.
Oh, it was it Marking Time from Pippa?
Marking Time is the first correct answer on the podcast. We're only treading water. I'm only marking time with you.
We're counting every moment.
Yes, that's all I remember. Okay, question 3. She's 1 for 2.5. Megan Courtier was an MTCA student many, many, many years ago.
Okay.
Name one of her audition songs.
Ugh. Did you know I'm not at all in love?
Yes, you did.
Wait, no, say that one more time.
Not at all in love. And I was not her song coach, my friend. Correct.
That's what makes it extra hard. You did see her to mock. Okay, so we have 2 correct answers out of 2.5 to 3.5 questions. Question 4. How many currently active, and I'm going to define that as on the MTCA website, MTCA coaches have children? Hint, Little Pearl Studios Murphy does not count. Also, hint, multiple kids does not increase the number of coaches, but multiple coaches having the same kid does. I'm going to give you a plus or minus of 1. So if you're within 1, you're correct.
I know, for time's sake, I'm just going to say 4.
4 was your answer?
Yeah.
But what I've written down as the correct answer is 12.
What?
Can you believe it? Okay. What discipline has the most children for bonus points? What discipline has the most coaches with children?
Is it vocal tech?
It is monologue. 5 really? Monologue coaches with kids. But you have to remember, Katie and Ryan count twice because there's 2 coaches.
No, unfair.
Like I said it. Multiple kids is not a good number. Multiple coaches having the same kid does. I literally gave you a hint toward Katie and Ryan. For extra bonus points, which kid is the cutest? There is a
Pearl. Duh.
Little Pearl Studios Murphy. Okay, another correct answer. Beautiful. Still in your
She counts this time.
Of this question 5, of the active MTCA coaches, same definition, how many were at one time MTCA students?
Oh, okay.
For the purpose of this question, I do not count, but Lisi does.
Okay.
In terms of where MTCA is defined.
I'm going to say 8.
I'm going to give you 8 is correct. I have 9, but we said plus or minus 1 would be correct. So I'm going to say that is correct. Which discipline has the most MTCA coaches?
That there were former students. Dance?
Dance is correct. Very good. Very good. Okay, so Ellen, you have officially won the game. You've gotten multiple correct answers. We're incredibly proud of you.
Meaning 2. No, 3.
I think you got more than 2 if we count the bonus questions.
Okay.
You got some steals. I think you got like 3 correct, 4 correct maybe.
No, not 4.
What a pleasure to play a little bit of MTCA.
She's the queen of newlywed trivia.
Well, you know what though?
From now on, people have a more fair chance, I promise.
But I would like to point out that the easiest questions for me to answer was who sang what. Except I do not think I gave you Endless Night for CLO.
I never said that you did. I never said that you gave it to me, but I do remember singing it. Endless Night. Remember it so well. And then I was like, wait, isn't that from Like It? Anyway, okay. just a quick wrap-up contemplation from you, Elle.
Yes.
With a little Ellen wisdom, I would just love to end with like, you know, from working so closely with this age group over so many years, is there like a piece of advice or something that you'd want to tell a young artist who's looking at college education in musical theater today?
Try to block out the noise from the internet and your peers. And anybody who says there's only one answer for you is not you. Mm. Yeah. And the noise is, I just got snaps from Charlie. Mm. but it's so easy to listen to, especially your peers and slightly older peers who have really, you know, powerful voices and are at schools that you aspire to. They've auditioned for themselves. Mm-hmm. That's it, you know? And I'm not saying there aren't wise people who really want to help you. I know our TFCA scholars help others, the younger scholars. But yeah, it's your brain. It's your heart. So spend time with yourself. And your coaches are great people. Honestly, your MTCA coaches are great people to use as sounding boards because they're not going to, like Leo always says, we're not going to give you the answers, mm-hmm. but they know the questions to ask, you know? Oh,
it's such good advice. It was such a lesson for me to learn as a coach was that I was not getting myself into school again and again and again. I had to finally go like, Charlie, you already got into school. Like, help this student. What do they want? What, you know, but that was, you know, a couple years of coaching before I felt confident being like, don't just coach them to be a little you, coach them to be a little them. Which is just really hard. That's it.
Can I give advice to a coach too?
Sure. Yeah. Give advice to a coach.
The advice to a coach would be, because I got this advice as a new clinician in graduate school, is it's okay to say you don't know and be honest with that, with your student in the moment and say, I want to ask. And I think our team does that wonderfully. I would love when I was coaching and I would say, let me just call Ann or let me call Lisi. I just want to get somebody else's opinion about this. So, and my amazing speech pathology mentor, Jackie Gartner Schmidt, said, it's always okay to say, let me just go ask a colleague, you know, and to brainstorm, and you'll often get much better, you know, even fuller answers, or you'll get an answer that you didn't know. And that's absolutely okay. What made me think of that, Charlie, was when you said it took you a couple of years as a coach to be confident in your interactions with the students for themselves. It takes a lot of confidence as a teacher to be able to say, you know what, I'm not sure. But you don't have to know everything. Nobody does. True. And that was my old teacher advice.
Well, speaking to that compliment that you've always maintained that 3 years when you knew more than so many people and you would still say, I'm gonna double check. I'm gonna verify for that for myself, or I'm gonna ask someone else, or I'm gonna get a second opinion. It just makes the places when you do say, I know this, feel that much more confident because you're like, I know this, I do. This I know, and this I need to verify, or this I'm going to double check.
You want coaches who are specialized in this process because they know what is changing. And what made me think of that was the last live masterclass, faculty master class we had was the time when I recall hearing the most, guys, we don't care if it's overdone. Do Les Mis. Mm-hmm. Do Wicked. It doesn't matter. And I always tell new students who I'm meeting, who I'm introducing that concept to, which will be reinforced by their song coaches. If Ellen 5 years ago would have been sitting in the corner with her arms crossed, like, over my dead body will an MTCA student sing Les Mis. Yeah. But you know what? That's what they are. You have to listen to the faculty. They are, they're your audience, right? Mm-hmm. And I love that they're saying that.
Yeah.
It's what you bring to it. And I love listening to the podcast with the faculty because they're saying things that I already know, but I love it to be that I've learned from them, and I love hearing it reinforced.
That's so true. Well, Elle, thanks so much. And thank you for the time today and for being the incredible person that you are.
Thank you, Charlie. And may go.
Okay. Well, I really hope you enjoyed the conversation with Ellen as much as I did. She is such a wonderful, generous, kind, and open-hearted person. I just love chatting with her because she wears her heart on her sleeve, and it's just my favorite kind of people. I want to do a little bit of a deeper dive into the conversation we had about pipeline. It's something that you've heard me discuss a little bit with faculty as we kind of offer them the opportunity to address their current conversation surrounding equity. But when we do those conversations, I try not to jump in too much so that it can really be the conversation of their opinion and not my opinion. And I also don't want to just have the same conversation over and over. But I do think now maybe is a good opportunity for me to give my opinion, what you guys have all been waiting for, I know. And I do think TFCA has hit on something really important. We hit on it a bit with Caitlin's episode too, in sort of addressing this idea of equity earlier in the process and maybe just throughout the pipeline. I think often in the professional world, they kind of pass the buck and blame colleges. Like, well, why aren't these colleges graduating people who of certain X and we'll hire them or whatever? And the colleges go, well, if they'd only audition for us and we don't see that many people of X or whatever the thing that's being discussed. And I do think TFCA is one of the first programs I've seen that really try to specifically address leveling the playing field in that way, or at least they make a little dent in it with the students they have. And so if you are a person of means who can contribute to them, please, they have my strong endorsement. I think it's a fantastic company. But I also think anywhere you can help along the pipeline is super important. I kind of believe the only way to solve a systemic issue is by looking at the entire system. And so in my humble opinion, this is not a problem of like a few racist people in certain positions of power that we can be like, let's root them out and everything will be fixed. especially knowing so many of these college faculty. I don't think that's the case. I think this is a deeper problem, and it goes into the nature of, like, societally, when students start being interested in art and who is allowed to do art and who has the resources to take lessons or get to be exposed to, you know, the wonderful life-affirming thing that is musical theater or theater in general. So I do just kind of believe, and for, again, take it for what it's worth, and in my opinion as a cis white man, but I do kind of think it is every part of the system that we can attack is helpful. I'm kind of the belief of, like, let's do it all at once. Let's do all of the things. Let's address this and this and this and this. And then we can always step back and reevaluate and see what's next. But let's kind of build that new world at all the stages. And then we'll kind of see what the next thing to address is. And that's some of, at least I think I said in the first episode, but that's some of the goal in the podcast, is to be able to be a small part of addressing some of the information imbalance, at least, for people who can now listen to this episode for free. So yeah, that's my thoughts on some of these pipeline conversations. Now, on a much less serious note, our special little summer bonus game moment, the much anticipated Newlywed Revenge game with my two wonderful partners, Elizabeth Stanley and Leo Ash Evans. Hope you enjoy. All right. Dear listeners, after enduring much haranguing about my impossible questions that I asked my partners in their individual episode Newlywed Games, America is getting what they truly deserved, a fair and balanced game. For these purposes, I am passing the hosting duties onto my producer, Megan Cordier, and vulnerably stepping into the game myself to battle my two partners in what I can only assume will be the greatest thrupled version of a Newlywed game ever played. Megan Cordier, I pass the ball to you.
Thank you, Charlie. Elizabeth and Leo, I'm so happy to have you back on the pod and potentially set the record straight in this Newlywed Revenge game. You both will be working as a team to answer questions about Charlie. Questions will be directed towards one of you, but you can phone in your trusty teammate to help you answer questions about your wonderful partner, Charlie Murphy.
This feels unfair already.
All right, Charlie, so the first question is going to be directed towards you.
Oh, God.
As we all know, Leo loves his plants. Whether his habit is a passion or a problem is still up for debate. He recently scored a 7.5-foot tall plant from a fellow New Yorker moving out.
Yes.
What name did he give this plant, or what type of plant did he bring home, Charlie?
It's the name of the plant or the type of the plant.
That's hard.
They may be related to one or another, so I will be taking both.
Oh my gosh. Okay, great. So I'm going to call it Phil the Philodendron.
Absolutely not.
Never going to get 7 feet tall, baby.
Leo, would you like to introduce your plant's name to the pod?
Yes, and it's not really a name of the plant. You're right. It's just a type of plant. It's an areca palm.
Tree.
Yes. I was going to guess that it was a palm, and maybe you named it like Palmyra or something.
I should have phoned in. Can I phone in too? Or am I?
No,
just,
no. Charlie, you're riding solo.
Okay. Oh, for one, fine. This is what it feels like. I get it. It's fair.
Leo.
Yes.
This will be your question, but you can phone in Elizabeth to help.
Okay. Likely.
Which MTCA coach set up Elizabeth and Charlie?
Oh, I don't need help with that. I know that one. Allison Spratt Pierce.
Correct. All right, Charlie. In Elizabeth's opinion, what is the most ridiculous/funny thing you had to do while helping her self-tape?
This is not going to be the win, but I have such a memory of her, like, me filming her in our kitchen while she was, like, fake cooking, like, using our kitchen. And I thought this was, like, the new modern way that self-tapes are going to be done. It's like, we actually have a frying pan here, and we actually have, I was like, we have full props. But I don't think I did something ridiculous with that. So that's my answer, even though I'm sure it's wrong.
Wrong.
Would you like to share your answer?
Folding up that pain in the butt. Collapsible backdrop. But I don't know if anyone listening has one of those, but, like,
that was every time I would try to sumo wrestle it to the ground.
Like, I would almost be in tears, and then I would just have to step away. And every now and then, one of us would just, like, magically go boom, and it would, like, fold up. But you're like, it happens so fast and so easily. I don't know how it happens, so I can't do it the next time.
Mm-hmm. It never is the same.
No.
Okay, this is a thrashing. I can feel it coming. It's fine.
Elizabeth, when Charlie saw Leo in Leo's first Broadway show, where did Charlie sit?
Oh my God.
I'm looking for a location, not an exact ticket number.
It's not like G6.
I have a guess, but I'm going to phone in Leo just to make sure that we get it right. Do you remember, Leo?
What's that? I sure do. But I bet your guess is right.
You My guess was going to be the very back row.
No, you're wrong. Oh. Good thing you phoned me in. he was the front center seat in the front row. Like that obnoxious seat, like where you don't even see the show and you're behind the conductor's head.
But like on the conductor's camera, like they could see us on the conductor's camera.
Oh
like
my God, Leo.
Right.
Hey.
I could see him backstage when I wasn't on. Oh my God.
God, that's so excellent though.
We should get that footage for the podcast promo.
Somewhere
in the Broadway archives. All right, Charlie.
Yes.
Leo has developed some luscious locks in this pandemic.
Ooh, I agree.
He's sporting it today. It looks lovely, Leo. Ooh,
thank you.
May have predicted Leo's new hairstyle by hiring him in 2015 to voice over for one of their commercials.
I got one. I think I got this. I'm going to say Vidal Sassoon.
Strong and wrong, Charlie.
I've heard that commercial. What is it? What's the answer?
It is Garnier Whole Blends.
Yes. Garnier. Oh my God. Wait, Leah, what's the clip? Yeah, what did you have it. To say? I need to know.
Whole Blends Garnier, where every color and every matching color, something like that. But it was Whole Blends Garnier.
That's awesome.
Leo's has that silky luxury voiceover. It's never because you think he's like, oh, he's fun, he's energy. But the voiceover is always like classy. Like it's all of them, they're always like, it's a Rolls Royce. That's what like Leo drops you on.
Smoker's voice, end of the night, 4 a.m. bar.
Own it. Do you like a good whiskey? I've got it for you.
Yeah.
All right, great. 0-3. I thought I had that one. I thought Vidal was going to give it to me.
Okay.
Yeah, you were confident with that answer too, Charlie.
Wrong and wrong. That's right.
Leo.
Yes.
Where in the world did Charlie propose to Elizabeth?
I can't phone a friend. Elizabeth is a part of the answer.
Haven't you been locking in the details of my life, Leo? Jeez.
Wait a minute. I know where he was. Wait, I remember it happened on the roof.
Correct.
Yes!
Of the apartment building.
Yeah.
I just remembered in the photo.
You have been locking in the details of my life.
Well, that's what you have to do. You have to sit with the answer for a while. Instead of just saying the first thing, you got to. That's good. That's a good strategy.
Okay. Charlie, last question.
Okay.
How many plants does Leo have in his apartment? And I am looking for an exact...
Wait, with 100 plants, I have to get on the dot?
Yes.
Unbelievable. All right. It's definitely in the 20s, above the 20s. It's not under 20. There's no doubt about it.
Correct.
Okay. And I'm going to say it's under 100. So that's the range I'm playing with. Is that correct too?
Maybe.
Yes.
Okay, good.
We do live in New York City, Chaz.
I'm going to say... the first number I had in my mind was 37. I'm going to up it a little bit because of the new plants, including Phil the Philodendron, who you're calling a palm tree, which is not
Arica.
A name.
Arica.
Arica, yeah. Erica the Arica. I'm going to say 43.
Ooh, it was close.
What was it?
Didn't I say close to 40?
You did say close to 40, but I was.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Close to 40.
Wow.
All right. Well, that's what it feels like. A thrashing was given.
We can give Charlie a sympathy point if we want to.
One
but I will
point.
Say the spouses have won.
Yes.
And the hosts.
Hey.
We have second the record straight, ladies
that's
and gentlemen.
Correct.
And a huge thank you to you, Megan. Thank you for hosting a beautiful revenge game. And thank you, partners, for your gameness and coming back on and having a little fun with us on the newlywed revenge game.
Thank you for treating us fairly for once.
Yes. Power in numbers.
I love you guys. Thank you so much. Well, that's our special episode. If you enjoyed this episode and my utter humiliation and want to hear more of our ridiculousness, please give us that sweet, sweet follow. We'd also appreciate it if you were to rate and review us where you found us. We suggest 5 stars if you want to see a copy of that conductor's tape, and ironic 5 stars if you'd just rather use your imagination. Perfectly fair. You can also reach out to us with questions for the pod at mailbag@mappingthecollegeaudition.com. If you're interested with working with MTCA for help with your individual prep for your college audition journey, please check us out at mtcollegeauditions.com. To my young artists out there mapping their journeys, there is no amount of plants that is too many plants. We'll see you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.